Hysteria is brought to you by ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol. Let's face it, after a night with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to. I have to make a choice. I can either have a great night or a great next day, or neither. I've got two kids. They don't leave me alone. That is until I found Pre-Alcohol. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. So I first gave pre-alcohol a try when I went to the Crooked Media holiday party this year. I knew that my little one, my little baby, wakes up at like 5:30 to 6 a.m. every morning. No negotiating that. She does not respect Saturdays whatsoever. So I went to the party. I took the pre-alcohol drink. I made sure to substitute water every other drink. And then the next morning I woke up and I felt just like fine. Everything was fine. I only felt like I wish I could sleep for another hour, but I didn't have the dry mouth. I didn't have the headache. Nothing. Felt great. Ready to try it? Go to ZBiotics.com/hysteria now. You'll get 15% off your first order when you use Hysteria at checkout. Plus, it's backed by a 100% money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Subscriptions are also available for maximum consistency. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/hysteria and use code Hysteria at checkout for 15% off. Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Sammy Sage.
Sammy, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you think that there's an FBI file on you? And if so, how long do you think it's existed and what do you hope is in it?
I can only hope I'm important enough to have an FBI file. I have a feeling that it probably has existed since I graduated college and started and became a Jew running a media company, and that's suspicious. So, gotta keep tabs on her. And what do I hope is in it? My time of highest achievement was high school, so I hope they have my grades, honestly, my SAT scores, because those reflect well on me, I would say. What about you?
I think there probably is one on me just because I've been working in the media for long enough, and I was working for an organization that was like targeted by Gamergate and stuff. So like, I'm sure there's something
in there
in the mix. I hope what's in there is that I used to be fun. I used to be so much fun, and I'm so not fun anymore, but I used to be awesome. If you would have known me in like 2012, you would have had a really good time.
Do you think they have pics, like blurry BlackBerry upload pics?
I hope so. I hope so. I would love that because I don't know where most of them are. They like disappeared with my phone.
Facebook?
So maybe if the FBI had some, well, I would hope like extra camera roll pics that I didn't use because I want to look back and be like, wow, I was fun.
You're making me, one time I do remember I accidentally, and I'm just going to share this here and you can cut it out if it's not appropriate. I accidentally uploaded a photo with cocaine in the background.
Oh,
it wasn't
man.
My cocaine, just to be clear. It was someone else's cocaine.
Sure.
But I was taking a picture.
Sure.
I swear it was someone else's cocaine. I mean, it was just there. I was just around people who were doing it. And
it was a different time.
It was a different time, exactly. I'll be honest though, I don't really like snorting things. So
no.
I'm like Prince Andrew, I don't sweat and I don't snort. That's how you know I'm innocent.
As I'm sure you've noticed, Alyssa is out today, but we're joined by Betches founder Sammy Sage. Today, we're watching Pam Bondi testify in front of the House Judiciary Committee, so you don't have to. Then we're digging into the Olympics and TPUSA's Super Bowl counter-programming and their lame and miscalculated battle to claim American culture. Who knew liberals would get the NFL in the divorce? Then we wrap up with Sani Petty. Okay, let's get into it. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who didn't try to steal the dog from Hurricane Katrina victims. We're looking at you, Attorney General Pam Bondi. Do you know that story, Sammy?
No, I actually don't.
Oh, my God. So you have to watch our episode of This Fucking Guy on her, because when I was doing the research for it, I was like, oh, my God. Like, usually, sometimes I have to go through and, like, pick out little nuggets of, like, oh, this is funny, this is silly. But with Pam Bondi, it was all kind of, like, out there. Like, her entire like digital life or the trail of her existence prior to her being AG of Florida was like, yeah, she tried to steal a dog. Like she was like a prosecutor in Florida, and Hurricane Katrina happened, and she had just lost her dog of a long time. And she went to adopt a Katrina dog, and it turned out the Katrina dog that she adopted already had owners. The owners were a grandma and a grandpa and two of their grandkids who they were taking care of because their parents were dead. So it was like a family with orphans. Orphans and grandkids.
She stole an orphan's dog.
Yes.
And elderly and orphans.
Yes.
Dog.
They were like, can we have the dog back? And she was like, no. And like took them to court. Yes. There was like a long court battle. And eventually the family won and got to take the dog back. And she like pitched a huge fit over it. But yeah.
Oh my God.
I know.
This, you shouldn't have a dog. Also, that sort of reminds me of, oh shit, it's like Katy Perry suing the nuns. It's
yes.
Like, are you really going to do this? Really? Like this, they just went through Hurricane Katrina and you're going to steal their fucking, just give them their dog back. You can get another dog.
You like, have enough money. You can just buy a different dog.
Right. It's also like, okay. She's such Facebook mom energy. Like I would have loved to see, was she even allowed on Facebook? She's saved by the fact that she wasn't allowed on Facebook certain years.
Yeah.
But she would have been, like, so annoying. I can even – she's like your mom's friend who, like, friends you, and then you make fun of all her status updates.
Yes. You screenshot it, and then you accidentally –
Well, not my mom's friend.
Right, right.
One's mom's friend,
and you screenshot it, and sometimes – and one time you accidentally send it to her because you're thinking about it, her, as you, like, send it. And then she's – you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. And you have to come up with, like, a lie on the flight. Not that that has ever happened to me.
No, never.
Yeah. Well, Attorney General Pam Bondi is at the top of this segment because she testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday morning. Her hearing comes at an awkward time for the Trump administration, to say the least, when the topics of immigration enforcement and the Epstein files are sort of albatrosses around the jowly neck of the president's popularity. And Pam Bondi, as the top law enforcement official in the country, had to answer for both. Like the Ginger Rogers of bullshit, Bondi's challenge was to dance with the Trump administration's bungles backwards and in heels. But instead, like the circa 2021 Dua Lipa of bullshit, she seemed a little bored and overwhelmed by her own choreography, sounding as always like a Facebook mom who has been arguing with a gate agent for 10 minutes after missing her flight's boarding time and is about to be escorted from the Tampa airport.
So specifically Tampa.
Yes, specifically. She's from Tampa. She is like Tampa.
She is Tampa, yeah.
She is Tampa. We obviously woke up early to report firsthand this shit show. So let's run through some of the moments that stood out the most to us. Let's start with this chaotic back and forth with Representative Jerry Nadler of New York.
How many of Epstein's co-conspirators have you indicted? How many perpetrators are you even investigating?
She's wasting time.
First, you showed it. I find it.
How many have you indicted?
Excuse me. I'm going to answer the question.
Answer my question.
No, I'm going to answer the question the way I want to answer the question.
No, you're going to answer the question the way I asked it.
Chairman Jordan, I'm not going to get in the gutter with these people.
You can let her filibuster all day long, but not on our watch.
Is she drunk?
Not on our time. No way. And I told you about that, Attorney General, before you started.
You don't tell me.
No, I did tell you because we saw what you did in the Senate.
She seems drunk.
Committee will be in order.
Time, and I should get back at least 45 seconds.
We will give you a few more seconds. I
not
said that already.
45 seconds.
Okay. I'm timing right now, Mr. Nadler.
All
right.
My time, the answer to my question, how many of Epstein's co-conspirators is she indicted, is zero.
Wow. Thoughts on that, Sammy?
Sounds like she got a little bit of that thing I accidentally uploaded to Facebook back in the day. My first thought was,
you think cocaine? You think upper?
Marco? I mean,
maybe.
Polo. This is why. The clip I saw of her this morning was when she starts talking about the stock market, how the Dow is like 50,000 and how like Jamie Raskin's good at like trading stocks. And I'm like, and everyone's like, what does this have to do with the stock market? And she's like, well, what does this have to do with the stock market? Like, she's a little bit hyped up. Usually she's a little more, you know, she's kind of jumpy.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I've seen a clip of her that in a context where it would be acceptable for her to be imbibing. I think it was like on a red, like Kennedy Center honors. Like she was that was when she wore the poop dress. She looked like a big poopy. It was all brown.
Oh, yeah.
It was a terrible look for her, and she just seemed very intoxicated, which, like, fine, whatever. If I were going to a Kennedy Center event, I probably would be like, yay, free bubblies or whatever.
Yeah.
But this time, she seemed like she's not, like, her brain isn't moving as fast as she wants it to move. Like, she is hyped, but, like, it's not moving how she wants it to move. And remember last time she had a hearing where she had the, like, notes? She had her burn book?
Yeah, she was more measured.
Well, but she had it, like, all written down and organized, and she was like, oh, this person? Well, you are friends with Reid Hoffman. And, like, it was more organized, and it felt like it was more calmly delivered.
It almost feels like she had a fight with someone right before, and she's still flustered.
Yeah, that's a good way of characterizing it. Let's listen to Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington. She asked Bondi to apologize to survivors of Epstein who were in the room with them. She asked the survivors to stand up, and this is what happened.
To the survivors in the room, if you are willing, please stand. And if you are willing, please raise your hands if you have still not been able to meet with this Department of Justice. Please know for the record that every single survivor has raised their
hand.
Attorney General Bondi, you apologized to the survivors in your opening statement for what they went through at the hands of Jeffrey Epstein. Will you turn to them now and apologize for what your Department of Justice has put them through with the absolutely unacceptable release of the Epstein files and their information. Congresswoman, you sat before Merrick Garland sat in this chair twice. Attorney General Bondi,
can I finish my answer?
No, I'm going to reclaim my time because I asked you a specific question that I would like you to answer, which is, will you turn to the survivors? This is not about anybody that came before you. It is about you taking responsibility for your Department of Justice and the harm that it has done to the survivors who are standing right behind you and are waiting for you to turn to them and apologize for what your Department of Justice has
done. Members get to ask the questions. The witness gets to answer in the way they want to answer it. Attorney General
That's
respond.
Not accurate, Mr. Chairman.
Because she doesn't like the answer. Time. So,
Mr. Chairman,
why
I have asked
didn't she ask Merrick Garland this?
I am reclaiming my time,
my
and when I
will
reclaim my time, it
Mr.
is
Mr. Chairman, the gentlelady is reclaimed
her time.
I'm
not going to get in the gutter for her theatrics.
The time belongs to the gentlelady. The gentlelady has 17 seconds.
Thank you. You're not going to answer this question, so let me just
Chairman,
say this.
I'll direct it to
what
you.
What a massive cover-up.
No, I'm answering a question.
Chairman, will you restore her time? The witness
is
interrupting.
I'm not going to get in the gutter with this woman.
Stop the
She's
time
doing theatrics.
And let me have my
gentlelady,
time.
The gentlelady from Washington controls the time. The gentlelady has 17 seconds. You can proceed with your final
Thank you.
17 seconds.
What a massive cover-up this has been and continues to be. Donald Trump made the release of the Epstein files the center of his political campaign because he thought it would benefit him. Then you got into office, Attorney General, claimed to have a client list, only
Regular
to
order.
Then say that there was no list.
Sammy, what do you make of that?
Okay. What I make of that is that I don't see how our country is going to continue as is if that is the way things are supposedly supposed to get done. Like, that cannot be the means by which we get justice, by which we even get a fact established, which is their goal, to be clear, to make sure that no facts are ever established, because then we would all be in agreement on reality, and then we would all be in agreement on things like numbers and how and who wins elections and whether or not, you know, how many times someone was shot in the street by a federal officer. And I think that this is like that clip to me is so infuriating, and I actually don't know how the people in the room can stand to sit there and not like just scream at the top of their lungs, because this is the game. What she's doing there is like the whole administration, that is Trump's whole strategy. You just like get in the gears and you just like say nothing of any substance and you just don't allow it to get anywhere. And it's like, if you want to know how Jeffrey Epstein got away with all this, like that 3 minutes encapsulates like the whole strategy just in 1 minute. You cannot get anywhere because you just, they don't let you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, don't know how we're going to keep doing this.
It's crazy. It's like, oh yeah, Congress doesn't work. The Justice Department doesn't work. None of this works. Earlier this week, lawmakers were allowed to see unredacted versions of the Epstein files, which everybody was supposed to be able to see by law, but wasn't. Many, including Wyoming Republican Senator Cynthia Lummis, who said something like, something to the effect of like, I didn't think it was a big deal, but no, I think it might have been a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, but I was just like, oh, okay, Cynthia, good thing Wyoming has two senators. And then Democratic Representative Ro Khanna also said that he was upset by what he saw, that a lot of perpetrators, accomplices, and pals of Epstein were having their identities masked in a way that was contrary to the law. So, Sammy, what have you seen in the version of the Epstein files available to the general public that you wish was getting more press?
I think like it's not like one thing, because I think part of the problem is actually that people are seeing these like little discrete pieces of information. And so there's no like, people are seeing things without context. So when you, for example, like see claims, people are making a lot of claims about things that aren't true, which I think ultimately like hurts the things that are true because they're bad enough. So when people are making claims about like cannibalism and making assumptions about like code words like beef jerky and cream cheese, you are actually sending people off the reservation into places that are not real. You will not prove anything. I think a similar focus is happening with like, is he actually alive? Like, that's a really convenient way to make sure no one ever thinks too hard about how he actually died and who was in charge when that happened. And I think that there's enough established facts to tell the story. And every time people get into these like really sensationalist, unfounded things, it's doing Pam Bondi's work. It's like undermining this whole like the goal, which is I think to get Americans to a narrative that we understand what happened here, not just about the sex trafficking, because that was a means to an end for these people. And the end was control and dominance. And basically like acting as like an extra national government for America. Like, they were running parallel diplomacy. They were running parallel financial games. Like, it's a real risk here, like, what they've created and still exists. And I feel that we get sort of, like, distracted by the salaciousness, but also that's what interests people. So, like, you kind of need people to know those things. You know, you need to know about Peter Attia's email to get people outraged to understand the big story. But at the same time, I don't think people are getting the big story.
I think the story, and I don't want to say like the sex trafficking is the little story or anything, but I know I just
no, it's clear, like
it's very it's horrible. But I think that the like sex crimes are easier for people to understand than financial crimes. And I think that's why more people are talking about the sex crimes. But I do think like the financial crimes are the big fish here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's not even – I don't even think about it as like the crimes necessarily. It's not like this wire or that wire, although it's more about like what their goals were. Like that didn't even get achieved in his lifetime. Like last night I was reading like Bannon's – reading through again Bannon's text with him because there's so much information there. And it's like they were talking in 2018 about like overturning the Chevron decision. That's why they wanted to get Kavanaugh appointed. They were talking about like – Venezuelan oil and investing in Argentina. And I do not mean to say that like the sex trafficking is ancillary. In fact, we wouldn't know about any of this if it weren't for the sex trafficking. Like that was the weakness in his operation, that he was in, you know, involving thousands of kids, girls, people, like women in this. And that's actually what got him exposed. And I think that's what's so crazy about this is like, we wouldn't even know about any of this if these two girls didn't get into a fight in this Palm Beach high school in like 2005. And that's also like the impact that he had on people throughout his life, because these big, you know, extra governmental machinations, like they may have never been achieved. But what he was doing to achieve those things was blackmailing people and trafficking girls and physically creating so much trauma, pain, harm, that is what caused them to get exposed. And that is why the American people are so mad, because people really don't know about this other stuff. But I think it is really important if we want to actually get accountability, because I don't see how we're getting accountability for each discrete crime. Like, there needs to be a real, like, overturning of this.
Yeah. I mean, I want to talk about accountability in a little bit, but I just had a very, like, I have an ancillary question. Why is the tone of the messages between, like, Epstein and Steve Bannon or Epstein and Peter Thiel, why is it so flirtatious? Did you notice it seemed like they were flirting with each other?
Oh, my God.
What is up with that?
We were kind of, like, chatting about this last night. It's like, these men hate women and girls. They hate the female gender. And they just, their only true love and respect was for each other. Like, they didn't respect, the only woman I feel that they had any respect for, two women, Masha Dracova and Kathy Rumler. Mm-hmm. And everyone else was just an instrument to them. Mm-hmm. But they loved Jeffrey Epstein. Like, they thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But it's also like the biggest losers thought he was that.
But I think that that exposes the Epstein files and all these communications really expose how easily impressed men are with other men and how eager they are to impress each other. It feels very like you're watching like a natural subordination play out. Like they really want to be like subs to a big, important, powerful guy. But in being that guy's sub, they're not going to be harmed. They're going to be like, you know,
the protection racket.
Yes, exactly.
When you just said that, like the natural whatever, like I was picturing just like a bunch of animals in a pack, like grooming the leader.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's something more almost perverse because in a pack, like in nature, that leader is the protector, like a real protector, not like a evil rapist liar, like all these things.
Yeah.
Peter Thiel was like so taken by him.
Oh, yeah. Peter Thiel is so easily impressed by other dudes. And now he's sort of like stepped up in the like MLM of men being impressed with each other. And now his downline is a bunch of guys who are super impressed with him, even though what he says is alternately crazy and nonsensical. It almost feels like watching the Emperor Has No Clothes play just happen over and over and over and over again. Because I think like none of the emperors have clothes, actually. None of them do. They're like, if they're not actual sex pests, if they're eager to hang around with a sex pest or turn a blind eye to a sex pest if they think that it'll get them close to the power, which is like so disappointing, but also there were like some glimmers of hope.
It did get them close to the power.
It did get them close to the power. They were right.
They're still right because look who's in power.
Well, there has been some fallout from the Epstein dump, but unfortunately, it seems like most of it is in the UK right now. Prince Andrew was stripped of his royal title before we saw any of these emails, which tells me that what is in there about him that has been redacted or not released publicly is probably pretty fucking bad. But there was something that came out this week. DinoCon, which is a UK paleontology conference, has banned all Epstein file names out of concern for the safety of its attendees. So way to go, paleontologists.
Wow. We have people who, actually smart people. There's such like a cosplay of smartness, intelligence in these files. Like they really believe they are truly geniuses. And I want to, did you watch that interview with Eric Weinstein where he talks about how Epstein was like a construct and he worked in the Harvard math department? And like why he was like, why is Epstein involved in like my studies? Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's a really smart guy.
Yeah.
Like that, he's a physics guy, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like they all really believed that they were so smart.
Mm-hmm. Well, they all just told each other the things that they wanted to hear. It was sort of like they were just like in a constant, like a circle. You know, what's a snake eating its
own tail? An emotional circle jerk.
Yeah. I was going to say like the snake eating its own tail, except they're sucking each other's dick. It seemed very much like, oh, they're all telling each other what they want to hear about each other and about themselves. Like,
yes.
His relationship with Steve Bannon was very funny to me because I kind of knew Steve Bannon back in the day. He would talk to anybody. He was so like, he had so many reporters' phone numbers. He would talk to like just about anybody. And he just like,
could I call him now?
I don't know if I still have his number. I'd have to open like a Proton Mail account that is defunct, but we'll talk about it offline. But he was like always just like willing to talk to people, and he just loved feeling like a big shot. He loved like hosting parties because it made him feel like a big shot. He loved like being like talking to important people, and you could just really see that dynamic between he and Epstein. It was just two guys who are kind of full of shit who want to feel like big shots talking to each other. It was so interesting. We both found this in the files. There was like a really strange dynamic between Epstein and his so-called goddaughter, and I think that whole situation, you were talking earlier about people like picking out things that they shouldn't pick out and like just like running all the way to the end zone with it, where it's like, whoa, this is like too much. But I remember early in the Epstein file releases, there were pictures of Epstein with a girl or a little girl on his wall, and people were like, that's JonBenet Ramsey.
I saw that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, people think like Ghislaine is in this picture with JonBenet Ramsey. It's like, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, there's not really evidence of that.
But also, I think if you read further on, there's like receipt of like him getting a painting of his goddaughter made. And like, it's like, oh, okay. Well, this relationship is still a little strange, but like, okay. Like,
look, the thing is, I actually think it's not strange. It's only strange if you believe what they told you about it. If you actually look at what it most likely is, which I believe that this is this, I think Glenn and Eva Dubin's daughter is probably his, their oldest daughter is probably his daughter.
That is an interesting theory for sure.
I mean, if you read like everything about the way that they interacted and you read all their interactions, all his interactions with Eva, you look at like the comments about like Glenn, you see how much he did not seem to have any relationship with the other Dubin kids, like at all.
Yeah.
And yet he was like arranging for Selena to go to school like all the time to buy her flights, buy her clothes, buy her everything, get her custom shoes, there were millions of photos of her, like not millions, but there's so many photos of her that
there
he had.
There was a
box
of photos that are labeled Selena in his house, like in the
CD.
Evidence box. Yeah,
a CD. Yeah, there's also like a CD. And if you actually read the interactions, and you read his interactions about her with other people, the way he talks about her, there's emails to him where people like are congratulating him on like his baby and how she's like this age, like, oh, you have a 21-year-old and it's on her birthday. It's like, and it would be when she was 21. Like, it's, and also Eva Anderson was like his only, from what I can tell, like his seemingly only like consensual, real, like equal-ish partnership, like where I don't know that that's true, but like she's the only person who seems to like have any gall to talk back to him and that who he has any like respect for of all the people he's dated or been with or whatever he did to them. And I also feel that like I assumed, oh, he must have done something like gross to Eva's daughter. But like you actually see all the different interactions and it seems like this is the only person who he actually seemed to care about. There's an email with, I believe it's Nadia Marcinkova because her initials are there, where she says to him like, he says to her like, I told you, like, you and Selena are the only people I love. And when you actually, like, spend a bit of time with this, like, this is how a man talks about his daughter and treats his daughter. And there's, like, you know, he asked for photo shoots for her, but he would write, like, no nudes. Like, it actually seems like this maybe was the only person who he did not abuse and seemed to have genuine affection for that isn't interrupted in any way.
Yeah. Weird week for her. A weird couple of months for her.
I mean, a lot of those files are deleted.
Yeah.
So all the files about her are like gone and you can really only see them in J-Mail.
J-Mail and Wayback Machine. Because everything that was like released on the 31st got like grabbed by the Wayback Machine. So you can use Wayback Machine to pull it. But yeah, a lot of that stuff is getting pulled down and it's sort of like,
I just wonder if like she knew or her siblings knew or like,
know.
And then what – there must be so many crazy revelations the people in these files are having.
I mean, Ghislaine Maxwell seemed like a companion that was always kind of off the deep end. Like, she had this sort of, like, British frivolity where she's like, oh, my daddy says I can't ever get in trouble. I'm ever so naughty. You know, like, she just had this, like Mary Poppins, but, like, I guess it would be more like statuary Poppins like vibe where she was like
statue Mary Poppins.
Yeah. But she always seemed like a little unhinged. And like Ava Dubin is like a very respected, I think, an oncologist. She's a doctor. She's a medical doctor. Her children.
She seems very different from all the others.
Yeah, like her children went to Harvard. Like they have jobs. Like I think her oldest daughter is an MD. Like they have jobs. Like they seem like functional. Their brains work. they seem like they work hard.
It almost feels like this is that daughter is the and the other kids probably are the only like truly innocents. I mean, I don't want to say that the victims. I want to say like people who are like in his life in a way that like they benefited from his largesse.
There's a part of me that thinks that at least Ava must have had in the back of her mind that it could always end with her family's reputation and her life's work being dragged down with Epstein's reputation.
That did happen.
Yeah.
And because, she knew it.
Yeah.
She said that in an email to him like back in like 2012, it seems. Like it's redacted, but it's clearly her. Like you can – when you read enough of these, you can tell because like the fonts match or there's so many giveaways within the files.
Oh, yeah. I've great moments in redacting just are happening constantly. Sometimes they'll redact an email address but not the name and a footer. And it's like, okay, well, now I know who this is from. Like I'm not going to email.
Or the reference.
Yeah, I'm not going to email him. Just real quick before we have to take a break and move on from this topic that I will probably be talking about for the rest of my life. What do you think should happen? Like, really quick, what is the fallout that should impact Epstein, like, frequent flyers, literal and figurative, professionally and, like, legally in the U.S.? What should happen?
I don't think that anyone who has, like, a clear, demonstrable relationship with him that isn't, like, pretty much explained by, you know, oh, we kind of cross paths or, you know, you're in there because you're in an attachment. Like, that... You should not be in a position of public trust. And by that, I mean, like, a CEO of a company, you know. And then I think people should be investigated. My real, like, problem is that I don't see how any of that actually happens. Like, how does that happen? But in theory, in a working system, like, none of these people should be in, like, public positions. They should all be looked at thoroughly. I don't think they should be getting, like, government contracts. They should probably not be sitting on boards. Or you know what? Any company can put whoever the fuck they want on the board. But, like, you know, that
should... a scarlet letter or a scarlet E.
And I think what it is going to end up being is that we will have a bunch of scarlet E's on people until this broader political system experiences some reform and or the people die off and it becomes so like just societally unacceptable where like when we're in 20 years, like we're not going to accept anyone who is like involved in this, like no matter what. So, but you know, who knows if that will dovetail with there being like an actual consequence. I just don't see how you have a consequence when, I mean, maybe state laws?
I think that this is why cancel culture existed in the first place, because the law didn't actually protect people or punish people that deserved punishment. And I think that this is like a really good example of like an opportunity for people to take advantage of the fact that, okay, wrong was done. How can we rectify wrong in like systemically so that people don't have to like take it into their own hands and like apply it in this like court of public opinion haphazard kind of way. I think there should be no government contracts for people with clear and long-standing ties to Jeffrey Epstein. No government contracts. Elon Musk should not have government contracts. Peter Thiel's company should not have government contracts. If you want a government contract, you have to, like, the person in the Epstein files needs to be divested from that company completely. Like, they
I think the question is, why? I think maybe we start over. They have the government contracts because of this.
And so we should take it back, claw back.
Yeah.
We have to like claw back things that were ill-gotten gains. And on that note, I wanted to close this segment by listening to a little clip of feminist hero Thomas Massie having an exchange with Attorney General Pam Bondi. Let's listen.
Yes. I'm going to put the language of the bill up on the screen.
Chairman, may I give my
question
answer on that?
Here's
a political joke, and I need to give my answer on that.
We'll let the Attorney General respond, and then the gentleman can move to
Chairman,
his next question.
It's my time.
Within 40 minutes, you asked me a question.
You
within 40 minutes,
Wexner's name was added back
within 40 minutes of me catching you red-handed.
Right. There was one redaction.
One more thing I want to add before we go to break. We have been closely following the horrifying disappearance of Today's Show host Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy Guthrie. I covered the story on Crooked's new Friends of the Pod subscriber exclusive show, Pod Save America, Only Friends, with runaway country host Alex Wagner. Here's a preview. This story has been on both of our minds this week. I think on everybody's minds. Because
I think
just
nationally.
Nationally. Yeah. But it's just so chilling. Like when we were doing our production call on this, like just a little look under the hood for our listeners, it was the first thing that everybody wanted to talk about because it's just such a horrifying story. It's so sad. It's so confusing. And there's so much we don't know. So let's start with the latest news about the disappearance of Savannah Guthrie's mother. If you're not familiar with the story, Today's Show host Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy, was abducted from her home outside of Tucson, Arizona, in the early morning hours of February 1st. Savannah and her family have made several public appeals asking for any information on the disappearance. On Tuesday, the FBI and Pima County Sheriff's Department released completely terrifying new footage from the doorstep camera. The footage showed a masked intruder at Nancy's front door trying to block the camera before eventually disconnecting it. Authorities originally told the public that the footage didn't exist, but then they were able to restore it because the family did not have a paid subscription. It's very confusing how they were actually able to get the footage, but we'll talk a little bit about that. But now investigators said they were able to retrieve these new events because they recovered it from residual data, which is stored in back-end systems. So, Alex, what's your reaction to the story?
Well, let me just begin by saying I used to work with Savannah Guthrie. She is a friend of mine. I cherish her as a person and as a former colleague and just as truly a decent person in an incredibly indecent industry. Like the person you see on television filled with light and sparkle and brilliance is exactly who she is behind the scenes. And her family is extraordinary and her relationship to her mom is singular. And so when I first heard about this, like, it was gutting. It was like, this should not be happening to anyone. And to someone who is as close to her mother as Savannah is, I can't even fathom how she is able to get up every day, really honestly. It's like had a weirdly emotional impact on me. I'm very close to my mom, too. My mom isn't as nice seeming as Nancy Guthrie is, but I love her dearly. And I think, so there's like a personal element, but there's also, you know, I think the mother-daughter relationship, the mother-child relationship is really sacrosanct, and seeing that sort of being shredded in the most public way possible, just the strain and the like just misery that this is all inflicted upon the family and that we see in these Instagram dispatches. And then as a woman, I find it terrifying just because I love that Nancy Guthrie was living by herself at the age of 84 in her Tucson readout where the javelinas were eating her plants, as she told the Today Show. You know, that's such an independent, and like she seems so independent and happy, and to have that sense of safety and independence and resilience violated in such a profound manner is super terrifying to me. But I think in the context of, you know, what you were just talking about, Aaron, I don't fucking understand how we are 11 days in as of this recording, right? And I mean, we now have this doorstep footage, but I don't understand how few leads there are. And I am hoping against hope that the feds know more. I'm always trying to read in between the lines when we get these dispatches from our crackerjack FBI head, Kash Patel. But even with Savannah's, the family messages, I'm always trying to sort of parse the words and understand, like, okay, do they know a little bit more? Is this language being used in a particular way to mask the information they do have? Like, because it's very hard for me to believe that in this day and age, when it feels like everything we do is traceable, regardless of whether we want it to be or not, that this person, setting aside the Nest Cam footage, may have disappeared with another person with no trace.
Yeah, I mean, and even like cars. Cars have like notoriously bad infosec. And there have been stories done by like tech reporters about how your data that your car is collecting is very not secure. So, you know, was there any, there's so many things that you're like, well, couldn't they have looked here? Couldn't they have looked here? And also, you know, Kash Patel, as you mentioned, is in charge of the investigation and he hasn't really earned very much public confidence in his ability.
Oh, you don't think?
No. I mean, just like, I mean, he's just, he's not
tweeting out bad information repeatedly, not giving you
Yeah, I mean, and confidence. that's kind of why I think when you were saying like, well, we don't know what they know and we don't know what they don't know because they have to hold it kind of close to the vest in order for the investigation to have any integrity. But Patel has shown in the past that he lacks the discipline to actually maintain investigation like integrity. And so I'm kind of, I don't know. Do you think that he's got it in him to actually run this investigation?
I mean, I have hope. I mean, this is a result of me maybe doing one too many interviews in a cable news format where it's like we have former FBI experts and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Down at the like field office level, those guys know what the fuck they're doing, right? Like, and I, while Kash Patel is a titular head, I feel like he's more interested in like going viral on like making memes than he is in actually dispatching agents to do the real like work of investigation. So my hope throughout all of this is that they're actually competent people at the local and state level who are running the investigation. I don't know if that's true, though, given where we are. I also think not only does Kash Patel have his hands in this, so does Donald Trump. Like, we get news from the White House that the president is very, you know, following this closely, and then he's on Air Force One last Friday saying, I'm paraphrasing, but basically saying, I think something's going to break soon. And then, of course, nothing breaks, unless he was talking about the camera footage, but that was 4 days later, five days later. And it's like, oh God, like, are these clowns, like, actually involving themselves in this? Because that doesn't seem like a good thing at all.
To hear the full episode of Pod Save America, only friends, subscribe to Friends of the Pod. You'll get exclusive bonus content like Polar Coaster with Dan Pfeiffer and Terminally Online with a rotating cast of crooked personalities. Plus, you'll support independent progressive media and join a great community of crooked listeners across the country. Subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more hysteria. Hysteria is brought to you by Smalls. January is when we all try to reset, and that should include your cat. It's 2026. Do you still feed your cat like it's 1926? Whole mice? I'm picturing like Garfield eating like a fish in a cat bowl. This podcast is sponsored by Smalls. For a limited time, get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. That's why cats.com named Smalls their best overall cat food. Starting with Smalls is easy. Just share info about your cat's diet, health, and food preferences, then Smalls puts together a personalized sampler for your cat. No more picking between random brands at the store. Smalls has the right food to satisfy any cat's cravings. My late great cat Eleanor was fed Smalls for a substantial period of her life, and she absolutely loved it, and she lived to be 21 years old. So I think that it's no mistake that I was giving her the absolute best cat food that was perfect for her health at the stage in her life that she was at. Still not a believer in Smalls. Forbes ranked Smalls the best overall cat food, while BuzzFeed said my cats went completely ballistic for this stuff. After switching to Smalls, 88% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's a big deal. And the team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they'll refund you if your cat won't eat their food. Make 2026 your cat's healthiest year yet. Take advantage of their New Year's special and get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. One last time, that's 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. Hysteria is brought to you by Tovala. If you love great food but hate cooking or cleaning, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes, listen up because this just made my weeknight meals about 10 times easier. This podcast is sponsored by Tovala. Tovala is a smart meal delivery service, fresh meals, and a smart oven that does the cooking for you. Tovala makes it so easy. You just scan the meal's QR code, pop it in the oven, and it cooks everything perfectly. Steams, bakes, broils, automatically. No guesswork needed. You can save up to $300 on the Tovala Smart Oven when you order meals six or more times by heading to tovala.com/hysteria using our code hysteria for a limited time. The herb roasted chicken with creamy pumpkin risotto is my favorite. It is so easy. I also love that my Tavala oven is like a little robot that cooks for me. I love using my Tavala oven also to reheat food. It's really good for heating up things my kids like to eat, like chicken nuggets, old French fries, you know, things that if you just put it in the microwave, they get all soggy. The Tavala Smart Oven does a really good job of heating and making them taste really appealing as seconds, as leftovers. I truly love having it around. Tavala meals are chef-crafted and taste just like homemade meals you'd make yourself, just without all the headaches. Plus, all of Tavala's meals are made with real, fresh ingredients. Tavala is great because you can eat better without putting in a ton of effort. There are high-protein options, calorie-smart options, gluten-free options, comfort food, whatever you're into. With Tavala, you can finally remove dinner from your to-do list. For a limited time, because you are a Hysteria listener, you can save up to $300 on the Tavala Smart Oven when you order meals six or more times by heading to Tavala.com/Hysteria and use our code Hysteria. That's up to $300 off when you head to Tavala.com/Hysteria and use promo code Hysteria. One last time, that's TOVALA.com, and make sure you use our promo code Hysteria for up to $300 off the Tavala Smart Oven. Remember, with Tavala, dinner is taken care of. Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that had no idea that ski jumping involved the penis. Did you read this story, Sammy?
Wait. No.
Apparently, what? Ski jumpers were like injecting hyaluronic acid into their penises, and that somehow was giving them an unfair advantage. I didn't read any further than that.
Okay. Interesting. I thought hyaluronic acid was for the face.
I mean, I bet those penises look
hydrated.
Yeah, hydrated. Hydrated. Yes, very, very well. I don't know. Having a hydrated penis is great for ski jumping, I guess. I don't know. I'm never going to do that sport, and I don't have a penis. So you know what? Let's move on.
Not everything's for everyone.
Not everything's for everyone, and that is not for me. The Olympics kicked off last week, and as we anticipated on the show— last week, Team USA's athletes are not sticking to sports. In fact, they have plenty to say about what's happening back home, and as they've had to grapple with what it means to be at the top of their game and represent a country that is frankly sucking ass right now. Before the games even started, protesters took to the streets to condemn the presence of ICE personnel in Italy. Wait, we're giving ICE people Italian vacations on the government's dime?
You know, if it makes you feel any better, they can't appreciate it.
No, that's true. That's true. Team USA received cheers at the opening ceremony, but the crowd roared with booing when the camera cut to Vice President J.D. Vance. American TV cut this out, but once again, God bless our friends to the north. Canadian television aired it.
I'm in Canada, actually, so I'll let them know.
Oh, give them an applause. When Trump was asked about Vance's icy reception, he said, I mean, he's in a foreign country in all fairness. He doesn't get booed in this country, which, fact check, he gets booed quite a bit. He gets booed quite a bit. One of my favorite recent Onion headlines is about J.D. Vance getting booed by his reflection.
That's amazing.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, he is not beating the allegations that not only is he a smug asshole, he's also bad luck. Remember when he killed the Pope, Sammy?
Yeah, I kind of think he should go pay a visit to Mitch McConnell in the hospital. What about you?
Remember when his motorcade sort of did a hit and run on a cop?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that. Remember when he assaulted that college football trophy, I believe it was?
Oh, yeah. He dropped it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the L.A. shell on the motorcade, too.
Yes, yeah. Well, he's moved on to killing dreams, like a like a reverse Freddy Krueger, except without the Riz. I do think Freddy Krueger does have Riz. I think I can own that. Okay, so figure skater Alyssa Liu got stuck behind Vance's excessive motorcade on her way to the skating arena. And according to her coach, they almost didn't make it. So she was flustered when she got there, and her routine was sort of like not what she wanted. She only had a few minutes. It was crazy.
Yeah, she came in second, and she could have come in first.
Yes, she could have. Vance traveled with an embarrassingly large crew, and there was even a rumor that he traveled with a whole plane full of food. Can you imagine taking food to Italy? Well, you need Uncrustables, JD?
I've yet to be able to, like, come up with the perfect punchline for this. But at some level, I'm like, good. He won't appreciate. He won't get the joy. Like, to me, it's like the craziest thing ever. Like, you're going to choose to consume American chemicals through your food when you could easily drop 10 pounds by having sulfate-free wine every night and going for a little walk. Like, this man is such trash. It's like so embarrassing. It's actually embarrassing because he is representing America in the true sense. And yeah. We're going to need a diplomatic overhaul when these people are gone.
We need to have only cool people. Only cool people.
We will eat your pasta.
We will not turn our nose up at what you make locally, especially if you're like one of the culinary epicenters of the entire Western world. Like, oh my God.
It's also like super normal food. Like, it's not like adventurous.
Mm-hmm. Right. The American palate is attuned to the flavors that are used in Italian cooking because there are so many Italian Americans here and it's been fully incorporated into yes. American cuisine, North American, yes. Like, you know, USA cuisine.
That's the way to say it, not normal food. But it's like, yeah, it's nothing that, like, I'm sorry, but like cheese, bread and sauce, not that exotic. You can handle it, JD.
My husband's grandmother is like Italian American. Like, her parents are like came over from Italy and she was the only one of the siblings born here. So she's like Italian American. And it's really funny because, like, we went to Italy on a trip with his parents, and like, I was over there. I was like, you know what? I feel like Italians are cheating a little bit. It's like with the French with butter. It's like, yeah, just drown everything in butter. Of course, you get to make the best food in the world. The Italians are like pasta, fresh tomatoes, herbs, boom. It's like that feels a little like, oh, we're only using the freshest ingredients. Okay, well then 75% of the cooking is pretty much done because you're just like using the best ingredients. Yeah.
But JD, well, that's our problem. We don't have that. That's our issue.
That's true. That's true. Ever had a fresh tomato that you've grown? It is the shit.
It's actually, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing that we, what are we thinking? That's what I need to know.
I just want to know how we're tolerating the like quality. Anyway, that we'll get RFK Jr. Another episode. Here to talk about that. This is a low blow, but whatever. Sammy, what do you make of the fact that J.D. Vance's hairline is now visibly receding?
Look, we get the hairlines we deserve. And if this administration is going to cause me to go gray, I think he deserves it. And you know what? I saw his face after he got booed and he looked so sad and he deserves that.
He looked like the sad emoji, the one that's like this. Yeah.
He should have just stuck to like his personality from 2016. I actually think that would have been the right move for him.
Mm-hmm.
Bad move, JD.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the athletes that are speaking out, because I'm done talking about J.D. Vance. He has polluted this podcast enough. Okay. During a pre-Olympic news conference, Amber Glenn, the first openly queer woman to figure skate for Team USA, spoke about how the Trump administration has targeted marginalized people in the U.S., including the LGBTQ community. And here's the quote. It is so not offensive. I cannot believe how not offensive this quote is. Glenn said, I hope I can use my platform and my voice throughout these games to try to encourage people to stay strong in these hard times. I know that a lot of people say you're just an athlete, like stick to your job, shut up about politics, but politics affects us all. It is something that I will not just be quiet about because it is something that affects us in our everyday lives. So of course, there are things that I disagree with, but as a community, we are strong and we support each other and brighter days are ahead of us. What is offensive about that?
Like, it doesn't mention American carnage, number one. It's not good.
That's true.
What is offensive about it? They find Mr. Rogers offensive. Like, they find rainbows and puppies offensive. Like, it's just, they are offensive. And this is like, this is the culture war. It's just, this is how it is.
Yeah.
They're crazy. Well, and Glenn, it's so sad. Like,
it's so sad. But also I feel like she's a queer woman. So that sets her apart from the team already. And then after those comments, which were so like, and I don't want to downplay them because it takes a lot of bravery to speak out at all. But they were so like morning TV, pageant appropriate. They weren't like, fuck ICE and fuck anyone who thinks ICE is okay. Like, if it were a little pugnacious, I'd be like, I get why some people find that irritating. I would be completely vibing with it. But like, she's doing what she can in a way that feels comfortable for her. And it's like, she was singled out for like scary amounts of threats for speaking out against what the American government is doing. And she had to step away from social media. I just think that like the fact that this is a queer woman, Renee Good was a queer woman, it's very clear that like there is a very specific type of person that this administration thinks is like strategically and politically good for them to target. And I don't want to like let that slip by.
100%. And what I do want to say, though, is that Amber Glenn is going to be remembered for her statement and for representing, like, I feel much more comfortable, and I think most Americans do, being represented by this statement than being represented by J.D. Vance and everything else that is that all the world knows we're doing and is, you know, sharing even more, like sharing the news even more than we are in some cases. And it's, yeah, that it's like the power works in the inverse. It's like the more they go after someone like Amber Glenn, the more powerful someone like Amber Glenn's statement is. And like the fact that she can say that and, you know, that these other athletes too can go out and kind of like defend their teammates, that is like, I think, a really good sign that we are not totally in China-Russia situation yet, but...
Yeah, there were so many speaking out. Like, there was one news conference, I think it was with... It was the one that had freestyle skier Hunter Hess, and there was, like, a line of three of them. And it was like they all had something critical, mild but critical and honest to say. And I was just like, good. There's so many of them speaking out. Nobody has to be like the only one. And I think the fact that the Trump administration singled out Glenn and Hess really kind of betrays their tactics, which is that they want to get us separated, pull some person out and then attack that person and then get everyone else so scared of being the one that's singled out and attacked that we all cower away. And I'm not seeing that happen with the athletes, which is like, I guess, to be expected because these people are pretty fucking brave just in their daily lives. Like, doing that shit that they do on skates like requires a level of courage that I think a lot of people just don't have in them. And so it shouldn't be surprising at all that people are speaking out. I want to say, I wanted to talk about one more story like for 30 seconds before we take a break because this happened and it was like, I felt like I was hallucinating. Norwegian biathlete Sturla Holm Legrad gave a tearful interview after winning the bronze. Did you see this? It's a male biathlete. I think biathlon is like the gun.
Oh wait. I saw a headline, but I didn't actually like.
I saw a headline and I was like, is this AI? Like, did this really happen? So he won the bronze, you know, as Norwegians tend to do. They're really good at gun skiing. And he used his name and he used his time in the limelight to admit to cheating on an ex-girlfriend and talking about how she just found out and it was the love of his life and he wanted to win her back. In his speech, he said, I'm laughing, but I'm like, oh my God, this guy is like clearly broken up about this, but also like he cheated on her. So I bet she's watching this and is like, good.
How old is this man?
He's young enough to be in the Olympics, so his frontal lobe may not be fully formed. He said, 6 months ago, I met the love of my life, the world's most beautiful, sweetest person. And 3 months ago, I made the biggest mistake of my life and cheated on her. Girl, if he's cheating on you after 3 months when you're having sex like all the time, that shit's not going to stick.
This is an impulsive man.
Yeah, this is an impulsive man. He said he'd had the worst week of his life, but it culminated in him winning the bronze. I would say he did shoot his shot at getting her back. I mean, biathlete-wise and in terms of his confession during his, like, post-race interview. But, you know, TBD. Will that be
What's your advice to the girl?
I would say just, like, let him hang on red for, like, a few months. Get yourself together. Get yourself happy. And then maybe, like, go out for a coffee and see how you feel. If he still wants to get back.
I think you're so right.
Yeah. You have
you're
to, like,
so right.
You have to cool yourself down. You have to get to 100% room temp in how you feel so you can go in and be like, I'm going to assess this freshly. Yeah.
That's great advice because, look, not only the fact that after 6 months he's in love with someone and then it's just 6 months. Like, let's be honest. We should still be in the honeymoon period.
Yeah.
You cheat during that and then you are a gun skier who then wins the bronze and you talk about this in front of the world, not just the country, the world. So, I don't think I can trust this man to stay for a stable life.
You know what? But I would trust him to be the vice president more than the current vice president because at least he's honest.
He's honest.
There was something very, like, endearing about it where it's like, oh, this is a man who made a giant mistake and who is in pain. My heart goes out to him for his pain, but I also think, like, actions have consequences, sir. I'm very sorry. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more hysteria. Hysteria is brought to you by 3-Day Blinds. Have you ever bought something for your house that looked great in the store and terrible once you got home? Yes, Me too. There's a better way to build blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery, and it's called 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of high-quality custom window treatments in the U.S., and right now you can use my URL, 3dayblinds.com/hysteria. They are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. We can shop for almost anything at home. Why not shop for blinds at home, too? 3-Day Blinds has local professionally trained design consultants who have an average of 10 or more years of experience that provide expert guidance on the right blinds for you in the comfort of your home. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no-obligation quote the same day. Not very handy? DIY projects can be fun, but measuring and installing blinds can be a big challenge. The expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I am in need of some new blinds, and 3-Day Blinds is going to be my first destination. I was just checking out their Instagram. They've got some pretty good-looking window coverings on there. With 3-Day Blinds, you choose from thousands of options that fit any budget or style, plus from light filtering and blackout blinds to motorization and smart blinds that work with Alexa, 3-Day Blinds is a real upgrade to your home, not just a replacement. 3-Day Blinds has been in business for over 35 years, and they've helped over 2 million people get the window treatments of their dreams, so they're a brand you can trust. Right now, get quality window treatments that fit your budget with 3-Day Blinds. Head to 3dayblinds.com/hysteria for their buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no-charge, no-obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/hysteria. One last time. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to the number 3daiblinds.com/hysteria. Hysteria is brought to you by Quince. Quince is all about elevated essentials that feel effortless. Designed for layering and mixing, each piece helps build a timeless wardrobe made to last. With versatile silhouettes and thoughtful details, they're the kind of styles you wear over and over again. They've got the wardrobe staples with quality that's made to last, 100% organic cotton sweaters. Oh my God, those are my favorite. I love the organic cotton sweaters. They also have premium denim made with stretch for all-day comfort, luxe cotton cashmere blends, perfect for the changing seasons, everything you need for a wardrobe that actually lasts. Quince works directly with safe, ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're not paying for brand markup, just high-quality clothing. Quince uses the highest quality materials like 100% European linen and organic cotton. Everything is built to hold up season after season. The stitching, the fit, the fabrics, those are pieces you'll reach for over and over. Quince recently came up in my mom group chat, one of my mom group chats. My friends who live all over the country have a whole bunch of different lives. Somebody asked what their favorite Quince product was, and surprise, every single one of us had something wonderful to say about our favorite Quince product. Everyone was really enthusiastic about it, and we welcomed our friend to the Quince community. Now we're all in it. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/hysteriapod for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/hysteriapod to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/hysteriapod. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that was skeptical at first, but is now 1,000% on board with Jordan Hudson being awesome.
Oh my God, I can't believe other people are making that switch.
I mean,
I didn't realize it was like
the adult cheerleading. So Jordan Hudson is a former New England Patriots and current UNC coach Bill Belichick's very young, very strange adult cheerleader girlfriend slash stage mom. Kind of. She's like sort of his stage
mom. Like his manager. She kind of became his manager, it seems.
Yes. Yeah. Wearing like really like real Luke's on the sidelines and like adjusting his sweatshirts, his cutoff sweatshirts and stuff. At a basketball game between UNC and Duke the night before the Super Bowl, she showed up wearing a shirt advertising the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. Now, that's a very deep cut if you're somebody that does not like the New England Patriots. The Orchids of Asia Day Spa is the Florida rub and tug massage parlor tied to New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft's prostitution bust in 2019. So Belichick has smoke with Robert Kraft, and so Jordan has smoke with Robert Kraft, and she comes in with the like champion. There's no better. That's such a good move. That's so funny.
Can I say two things? One, it reminds me of Julia Roberts' shirt, Aloe Vera. Do you know
yes.
the one?
Okay. I was thinking about that the other day. That's so funny. Maybe this is why.
It's very much that.
Yeah.
Two, Do you think that this rub and tug massage parlor sells shirts, or do you think she had the shirt made for this exact reason?
If she had the shirt made, that adds extra points
have.
For me.
You, like that. You yes. think she went to Florida and went to the massage parlor? Do you think she went on their website? Like, oh, come on. She made the shirt. She must have made the shirt.
She commissioned like a graphic designer, though, because there's like a
graphic.
Maybe, yeah. That, but she like she did the work, and you know
she planned.
She planned, and like Robert Kraft is a Trumpy asshole, and like the enemy of and my enemy is my friend. So by the transitive power of pettiness, Jordan Hudson fucking rules.
Like that's, I love it.
That's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. Over the weekend, Bad Bunny's performance at the Super Bowl halftime show, which was an otherwise lackluster game, but the Super Bowl halftime show was great. It overshadowed the bad football. An estimated 135.4 million viewers turned in to the halftime show. The show was rich in Puerto Rican and Latin culture. My local taco stand, well, it was a taco tent when I moved in, Villa's Tacos in L.A., is
You're
now—
You're scaring the MAGAs, Erin.
I know. I'm sorry. Villa's Tacos was like a tent that was on a street near where I live when we first moved in. And a few years later now, it is it has like two restaurants. And it is just like some of the best tacos in L.A. if you ever get out here. Villa's Tacos, you have to check it out. But there was a cameo of that. There was a social club in Brooklyn, like the owner of a Puerto Rican social club. It was like so cool.
It was so cool.
And it was so fun and it was so positive. Like there was pointed like political commentary about Puerto Rico and about gentrification and all of those things. It was very pointed, but the end was like, we're all America. You know, this is for America and love is stronger than hate. Did you have a favorite moment from the show?
Probably the love is stronger than hate sign, I think, like, was really powerful because if you think about it, like, that was, I thought, being under, the Levi's branding made it really clear to me that it was, like, I can't explain it. It almost felt like a paid moment of this message mm-hmm. in a good way.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, it was, like, catching the random celebrities, like, wait, is that Jessica Alba? That girl looks like a lot like Jessica Alba.
And Jessica Alba looks exactly the same as she did in the 90s. She's
yeah,
so hot.
I was like, wait, how'd they get a lookalike for her? And then, whatever, it became clear. Honestly, like, I think the way that it was just, like, it just had, like, a feeling of optimism and, like, love and happiness. And, I loved Kendrick Lamar's performance, don't get me wrong, and I'm not even comparing them other than the fact that it was, like, last year and also made people mad because they, like, didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
It was different. It felt like a more positive version of that, but still was, like, laden with as much symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like, I don't know, I think Bad Bunny is, like, really, I really like him. Mm-hmm. I think something, like, really, I think he has a really, like, nice aura. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Him giving his younger self a Grammy was so cute, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love just like him. I think I liked the way he was like walking through and seeing all these different like, stage spots. I don't know. Like, I just thought the whole thing was like such a delight.
Mm-hmm. Well, not everybody was delighted by the halftime show. As Bad Bunny's star has risen, he has been consistently outspoken about his values, inclusivity, anti-colonialism, equality. He played zero shows in the continental U.S. On his last tour, despite the demand, because he was worried that ICE would target his audience.
And it would.
Yeah, exactly. And he endorsed Harris in the 2024 election. He's hot and he sings about making women come. So naturally, conservative men hate him as making women come is gay.
Yes.
Right-wing responses to the halftime show were just pure drama. They were so dramatic. Like a fucking baby, Republican Tennessee Congressman Andy Ogles he called for an inquiry into the NFL and NBC Universal. In a post, he said the halftime show had, quote, explicit displays of gay sexual acts, women gyrating provocatively, and Bad Bunny. Oh, no, not women, not gyrating. And Bad Bunny shamelessly grabbing his crotch while dry humping the air. And, quote, openly glorified sodomy and countless other unspeakable depravities. Oh, no.
These are people who won't say shit about the Epstein files, by the way.
Yeah.
You want to talk about depravity? Like, are you kidding me? His depravity is air grinding.
Yeah, air grinding and saying words that he didn't like in a language he doesn't understand. He just he probably had to go to Genius, hit translate, and then was like, oh, no, no.
He can't move that fast. He doesn't – look, that's the other thing. It's like I know – like they're not actually mad. They just know that it's time to get mad. Mm-hmm. And they all lied about watching their dumbass Turning Point counter-programming with – where you could actually hear some lyrics about – Kid Rock sings about underage.
Kid Rock lip syncs about underage. He doesn't sing.
You're right.
He lip syncs. Yeah. Kid Rock is a 50-something guy who had like two hits during the TRL era. And so he's just as relevant as Bad Bunny, the most popular recording artist in the world currently. You're right. It is all very phony. I think it is phony. The anger is phony. The like what they're offended by is phony. The TPUSA halftime counter programming that had a guy in it named like I don't know. I make fun of his name all the time, but it was sounded like a AI generated country name. It was like Braxley Hinkston or something like that. Huxley Braxford.
Yeah, yeah.
Braidlin. Yeah.
White man.
Braxton Hicks. You know, Braxton
Kleinfelters.
Hicks. Yes, Kleinfelters. Kleinfelters, I think, is the
that's little Dewey.
That's the bridal store where that's where they get the dresses before Braxton Hicks gets married to. The TPUSA show aired on a couple of random channels and on YouTube. It amassed about 5.2 million views compared to like 135 plus million views from Bad Bunny. It did garner TPUSA a million more subscribers on YouTube. So, if you like this Kid Rock performance,
that.
If you like that, this Kid Rock performance,
can I tell you something, Aaron, these numbers. Aaron, I'm a social media person. These
you think they're
don't
fake?
Add up. I don't think they got 5 million. I actually don't think they got 5 million views.
Really?
And I think because the chat wasn't active, and it usually is very active with 5 million people.
Interesting.
And wasn't active for 5 million people. And I also, you don't, if you have 5 million people watching something, you don't convert at 20%. So they, especially if the people watching are already your fans. So okay. Those numbers were, they bought themselves, I believe. I mean, this is an allegation. I believe they bought themselves the million followers, and I also believe that they bought themselves a lot of the traffic that was watching it at the time.
Okay, Candace Owens.
Because those numbers, the numbers, that's not how things convert.
Yeah. That's interesting because you and Candace Owens, I made a joke, but you guys are in lockstep here because Candace is on the case when it comes to all things. I just love her.
She
like
is?
I
Fuck.
Love her Norma Rae. Oh, yeah. She is Norma Rae now. She is all about the mistreatment of the employees at Turning Point USA. She is like out and speaking.
Look, they she's made the only person who liked Charlie Kirk.
I think she is the only person who actually liked Charlie Kirk, but she is on the case and she had a similar point. She's just like, yeah, there's no way that this does not make sense. Now, Sammy, let's talk culture war, because I think that this was a real distillation of the culture war in the last couple of weeks. By my tally, liberals now get custody of football, American football, Bad Bunny, young single women. They already had custody of young single women, Olympians, and asses. We get butts based off the Super Bowl halftime show and the fact that conservatives were like, oh, not the asses, no. So the right gets Kid Rock, pyrotechnic funerals, and complaining about swears. So is the right now suddenly really, really losing the culture war?
You missed one.
Oh, what?
And we also got the Second Amendment, apparently.
Oh,
I didn't want it, but
we get
we got
now.
It.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not interested, but I know we want a big tent. So, okay, are they losing the culture war?
Yes.
I think that it has me thinking that the culture war was never, like, as won on the right as one would think. Two reasons. One, a lot of it was, like, first of all, like pumped up on social media by the platforms, by, you know, and encouraged by the algorithms and like distorted. So I think we are A, looking at like a distortion of the extent to which the manosphere dominated.
Yes.
That's number one. I think that was like oversold, though it was important. Number two, the reason that like flourished was very temporary, and it was a very much a reaction to two things. Like COVID overwokeness and like the Biden lying about being old and refusing to acknowledge like reality, which is that he was old and the economy was bad. That was really the issue. It's like you have a week, you don't have any defense because Biden's the president, and you have like a really strong offense that made people think like, this is it. Oh, we're you know, we all, you know, and then when he got elected, it was like, oh, we are free to say the R word and like mm-hmm. the F word. Like, okay, how many people is that really versus how many people are just kind of like, oh, it's annoying that I like, oh, I think your land acknowledgement's bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. how many people like actually just think that but don't want to like overturn liberal values and still like inclusivity and think other cultures are cool to integrate with mm-hmm. versus how many people were just like a little tired of like having to adjust their language when someone's pronouns are different?
Yeah. Like, I think that there was like the liberal scold got really like played up and as like every single liberal is like a Tumblr woke scold from 2011. And I think the right kind of seized on that and made it seem like it was worse than it was. But otherwise, I think that's
– And also people, I think, who were maybe more like moderate or not even moderate, just maybe like not on board with like all the panics that came up every time. Like you were incentivized to like not – say anything about that. Mm-hmm. Like, you were incentivized to just either shut up or, like, join in. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, well, we got butts now. So, butts and guns. So, take that.
And Olympics.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sani Petty. And welcome back. You are listening to Hysteria, the podcast that really wants to know the context in which the Phantom Thread music was used in the Melania doc. I still haven't seen it, the blockbuster Melania documentary, but apparently they used music from the like Academy Award winning film, The Phantom Thread, without permission in it.
They always do that shit. Oh my God.
I mean, like you're picking, that is a Paul Thomas Anderson film with a famous soundtrack. Like,
that's
you're
crazy.
Pick something a little more obscure to steal. You know what I mean? That's pretty brazen. That's
it just
pretty
shows
brazen.
They don't, they know that they're, you know, not gonna get in trouble.
Yeah. I'm gonna start real quick with my Sani and Petty this week. There was some drama on the like fringe far right on the web the other week. I don't know if you caught up with this, Sammy Sage, but it's a guy named Elijah Schaefer, who is now just as divorced as you would expect him to have eventually been after it was revealed that he had an affair with a conservative influencer named Sarah Stock. Sarah Stock, who was with somebody else at the time as well. So Elijah cheated on his wife. His wife left him with his kids. He seems to be having a complete crash out involving like drugs and alcohol and stuff. Milo, blast from the past, Milo Yiannopoulos was the one that was like gleefully recounting all of the like beat by beat, you know, affair revelation, hypocrisy, these women are sluts, blah, 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 et cetera. And, you know, I think that it's really unfair that in general, when there's an affair revealed, the unmarried female partner gets like given more blame than the married man who is making a decision within the context of a marriage. But I also, like, am tired of coming to run to the rescue of conservative women who are like, I never thought the anti-feminism would get me. It's like, I guess you kind of made your bed. Like, I'm not.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I feel.
Okay. I think there's, like, sort of a mirror of that with people, like, who are realizing that, like, Trump is bad. And they're like, I'm sorry. I didn't realize, blah, blah, blah. And people, there's, like, this temptation to want to, like, yell at them. And I think, like, the best approach is sort of just, like, neutral. Because, like, if you yell at them, that doesn't help. If you're nice to them, that makes you feel annoyed at yourself and, like, makes other people feel like they have to be nice. But I think if you're just like, okay, great, keep going.
Yeah, you just got to get a gray rocket. Like, you don't want to encourage any – you're just like, okay. Or, like, if you suddenly looked and there was a raccoon in the corner of the room, you would be like, all right, I'm just not going to make any moves at all because I don't want you to do anything crazy right now.
Exactly.
And I don't want to get bit.
Maybe throw them a like on their post, but not a congratulations.
Yeah, right. Just throw them a – I just don't unfollow, you know, because
– Yeah.
All right, Sammy, are you feeling sane or petty this week or a combination of both?
I'm feeling petty.
Ooh.
And while we're talking about like the conservative women beat finding out, did you see that Ballerina Farm was selling raw milk and then had to recall it because it's raw milk?
Oh,
and,
yes.
And there were health issues.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't wish anyone illness from drinking this, but I do wish her business some financial illness from trying to sell this to people, refusing to educate yourself about it, and actually, like, just it's disgusting. It's so fucking American to like. This is also another petty thing I'm thinking about. Why is we are having the biggest measles outbreak in like recent history? It's like we fixed this already. We fixed this. Just pasteurize your fucking milk and get the vaccine. But then I'm like, you know what? You guys deserve to find out because we fixed it and you chose not to be on board with that.
Yeah. It's like not only are we not moving forward and learning new lessons, we are like going back and being like, actually, why is that in the first? Like, what even is water? You know what I mean? Like questions.
Prove
that you
it.
Yeah. Questions that you would ask when you were like high on your first edible in college.
Are we like, sure gravity is real?
Yeah. Why do we walk with like opposite hands, like with our feet? Why can't I just walk with the same hand and foot out at the same time? Like,
who?
Why doesn't like? Yeah. It's just like it is like a.
Why do we have two legs instead of one?
Yeah. Would it be easier because like you could only break one leg instead of two? Yeah, no, yeah. It's that sort of like, oh my God, the children have been left behind. Like we need critical thinking and reasoning. And I think the thing that makes me the most pessimistic, like where it's like, okay, look, we're going to win in 2026. We're going to win the election. You know, we're going to take back the House. We're going to take back the Senate. And we're going to rain down political vengeance. And then eventually we're going to stamp out MAGAism. But then even after all of that, like fantasy revenge in my head, we are still going to be left with a population of people that in some cases because of their own fault. And then in others because we handed them a telephone at 11 years old and like just let them scroll until their IQ went down to like 12.
And created conditions by defunding education.
Yes.
And all
so what
shit.
Are we going to do with all these dummies? Adult dummies, too. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to have to fix the dummies. It's going to be a long road, a generation-long vocation.
Okay, the thing is, we can't fix dummies, but we can fix what the dummies hear and who has access to the dummies. And I really think that at the end of the day, we need to get money out of politics. Because if you can, like, get all of the influences that are corrupt out, then maybe you could achieve something. And it doesn't matter if the people are stupid because they're not being fed lies or if they are fed lies, like they're being balanced by reality or the fact that you can't like that there isn't enough interference that the dummies are because think about it. If the dummies were that important, then the smart people like the elections were like the dummies didn't win. I can't remember calling them the dummies. If the elections where they didn't win, more would have been able to be achieved. Mm-hmm. It's like they're sort of just able to be captured by whatever the forces are.
I think that the dummies need to have their basic needs taken care of, just as a matter of course. Everybody has human rights. Smarties, dummies, everybody. Everybody deserves healthcare. Everybody deserves education. Everybody deserves good movies to go to so that they don't spend all their time scrolling through disinfo sites. Like, you know, there's like, if we achieve a level of like basic care and people's needs being met, then like we won't have angry dummies pointing their finger at the wrong things and like getting mad at the wrong people and falling for the wrong messages.
Less susceptible to grievance. That's literally like how fascists rise.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, that's all the time we have for this week's very special Sammy Sage episode of Hysteria. Thank you so much for joining this week. This was really, really fun.
You are so welcome.
We should just do Zoom calls together. I miss Alyssa,
too. I know. Alyssa, next time.
I know, next time. Alyssa will be back next week, listeners, so don't worry. Don't panic. She'll be back. And if you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com is our email address. There will be more Hysteria for you next week.
Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. Kendra James is our executive producer of culture and entertainment. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.